Gary, thank you so much for coming to the session and your choices. And as you said, I am the National Director of Advocacy at Hadassah. And I often speak at kind of Jewish community conferences related to genetics, and I don't know if any of you have heard me speak before, but if you have, you are in luck because actually the speech is different. And the speech is different because, you're not going to believe this, but Congress has actually recently passed legislation to protect against genetic discrimination after 13 years of really not doing anything at all. And so I want to talk to you today about the new law called GINA and its implications and what more we need to kind of move genetic research forward. But first, let me explain what genetic discrimination is. For those of you who don't know, with the mapping of the human genome, and I'm sure you've talked a lot about this morning, scientists' ability to find genetic markers for disease has just exploded. And within a relatively short period of time, patients have, by simply taking a blood test, are able to find out about their predisposition to certain diseases and take preventative measures to avoid those diseases. In about 1995, scientists, including those at the Hadassah Medical Organization in Jerusalem, published a study showing that certain genetic mutations of the breast cancer gene, be it the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, have a disproportionately higher prevalence in Ashkenazi Jewish women. And while this study was really groundbreaking in our understanding of cancer, it also sort of led to some false perceptions that genetic mutations have a higher prevalence in Jewish groups. And so what happened was genetic researchers really became very interested in studying this BRCA gene, and they approached Jewish communities all over the world, one in particular in Boston. Researchers at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute wanted to test the Jewish community there and see how prevalent the BRCA1 breast cancer gene was. And the Jewish community in Boston became very wary. I mean, they were really worried. What would happen if the research revealed widespread genetic mutations in the Jewish community? Would the Jewish community become stigmatized? And here they were really thinking about how that had happened before with the African American community and sickle cell anemia. And what if, for an individual, what if it turned out that she does have a predisposition to the BRCA gene? Could insurance companies then, health insurance companies, I mean, refuse to cover her because she's more likely to develop disease? Or would an employer not want to hire her or fire her because she was more likely to develop that disease and therefore cost the employer more money? These were really real fears. And what started to happen was people everywhere, and this just wasn't not just in the Jewish community, but everywhere, really started becoming very skittish about participating in genetic screenings. And they were not taking genetic tests. And I don't know if you saw this, it's actually in the packet, I put it in the packet, but in February 2008, there was a front page article in the New York Times called "The DNA Age: Fears of Insurance Troubles Lead Many to Shun DNA Tests." And the article featured a lot of stories of people who were not taking genetic tests because they were afraid of insurance discrimination. And one of the most, I think, compelling stories in that article was about a woman named Victoria Grove, and she wanted to know if she was likely to develop the emphysema that ran in her family. But fearing that if she took the genetic test and it turned out that she did have a higher likelihood of developing emphysema, she was worried that what would happen if that showed up in her medical records? Would she not be able to get insurance coverage? And so what she decided to do was to send away for a test and take the genetic test at home. And she did take the genetic test at home, and it turned out that she did have this predisposition to developing emphysema. But she had taken it at home, so it wasn't on her medical record.
that she had this predisposition to emphysema, she knew that she had to be very careful not to develop pneumonia, because if she developed pneumonia, it could very quickly become a very serious medical condition. So for her, at the first sign of a cold or a cough, she went to the doctor and wanted to get antibiotics. And one day, she had a cough, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor checked her lungs, listened to her lungs, and thought that she just had a cold. But because she was so nervous about developing pneumonia, she wanted to make sure that the doctor took a chest x-ray. And she begged the doctor to take a chest x-ray. But the doctor said, that's not necessary. I'm telling you, I really think it's a cold. And so there she was in the position where she'd tell the doctor about her predisposition to emphysema and therefore get the chest x-ray and be extra careful, or does she not, for fear that it would then be reflected in her medical records and that could become known and an insurance company could discriminate against her, an employer, and she was really in an impossible position. And I think in that case, she decided to kind of wait, not have the chest x-ray. But then it just got to be too much when she did have, you know, a cold or a cough and doctors wanted her to wait longer before they gave her antibiotics, and she just couldn't keep pushing off treatment because she knew that she was susceptible to it. So eventually she did have to tell her doctor about her genetic predisposition, and it was on her medical records, and I don't necessarily think that anything happened, but I think that really illustrates how the fear of genetic discrimination really plays in people's everyday lives. So that's why Hadassah really became involved in the issues, specifically because as researchers at the Hadassah Medical Organization, Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem, we really wanted to make sure that genetic research flourished and that people were willing to participate in genetic testing. But as American Jewish women here in the United States, Hadassah members really wanted to be sure that if they were going to, say, get tested for the BRCA1 genetic mutation, that they would be protected and that they wouldn't suffer discrimination at the hands of insurance companies or employers. And so in about 1996, Hadassah started what became a 13-year, really strong lobbying advocacy campaign to get Congress to pass legislation that would prohibit insurance companies and employers from discriminating on the basis of genetic information. And it seemed pretty hopeless for a lot of years, but in 2008, Congress passed the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, and President Bush immediately signed it into law. And so now we have this law on the books, GINA. So what does GINA do? GINA makes it illegal for health insurance companies and employers to discriminate on the basis of genetic information. GINA broadly defines genetic information to include the results of a genetic test that you take or the results of a genetic test that a family member takes. So family history about diseases suffered by your mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and great-great-grandmother, it goes back four generations, are protected under GINA. But what does GINA not do? Well, first, GINA does not protect against discrimination in the life insurance, long-term care, or disability insurance markets. And that is a really significant gap, because if you think about what a person who is just tested positive for a genetic mutation would want, it's life insurance, long-term care insurance, and disability insurance. Also, GINA does not mandate that insurance companies cover the costs of genetic tests. And GINA does not regulate the quality of genetic tests. So there are no regulations right now on the books to ensure the quality of labs that perform genetic tests or the genetic tests that they offer. But the most significant problems with GINA are these. First, GINA does not require insurance companies to pay for care that a genetic test might indicate would be beneficial. So there is no guarantee that a person person could afford the therapies that a genetic test indicates they would need. And what happens is that this can be really expensive. And a couple weeks ago, I was reading the last page in the New York Times magazine, and there was an article by a man named Michael Downing who was talking about something unrelated to this issue, but he started out his story by talking about how he had taken this genetic test and how it had just launched him into a huge sort of nightmare in his life. And so I'm going to read to you kind of the beginning of his story. He said, "It was the third week of the fall semester, and I was teaching two courses, and I'd already been absent twice. I was trying to figure out how to carry my book bag. A few months earlier, I flunked a genetic test and learned that I inherited a mutant protein from my father. He was 44 when he died. I was 45 and healthy by conventional cardiovascular measures. So the first symptom would probably be my sudden death. I opted for an implanted defibrillator. As a bonus, I was given a staph infection. In September, I puffed up, my surface temperature soared, and an emergency room explant surgery. The defibrillator was contaminated, left me once again at risk of sudden death. In a few months, the doctors would stuff another device into me, which had also had to be yanked out of product recall. But for the moment, I just had a hole in my chest, a catheter sticking out of my forearm, and a month's supply of syringes and antibiotics. And that all came from the results of a genetic test. Imagine if an insurance company didn't pay for all of that medical work that resulted from the treatment that a genetic test indicated was beneficial, the defibrillator. Second, GINA does not protect against discrimination based on a person's current health status. So that means that once you actually have a diagnosis, no matter how early the disease, no matter how symptom-free you are outside of GINA's protection. And this actually reminds me of this New Yorker cartoon I once saw where there's this doctor talking to a patient on an exam table and says, "Uh-oh, your coverage doesn't seem to include illness." Very often, results of genetic tests coincide with the various earliest stages of a condition. And it's hard to separate out a genetic predisposition from current health status. So take, for example, somebody who tests positive for the genetic disease called hematochromatosis, when iron levels build up in the blood system, and if untreated, can cause damage to organs. Say that person tests positive for that genetic condition. And then that genetic test then has the person take a blood test, and the blood test reveals a small increase in iron blood levels, the very earliest stage of that disease. That would then count as a diagnosis, and an insurance company could call that a pre-existing condition and not cover that condition under GINA. That GINA does nothing to prevent that from happening. So GINA really kind of reinforces the absurdities of insurance companies kind of relying on this pre-existing condition regime. You know, the question is, at what point does a condition exist? Which actually reminds me of another New Yorker cartoon I saw where this doctor says to a patient, "Are you the one with the pre-existing condition or the one with just the existing condition?" And so what happens with GINA and the pre-existing condition regime is that all of the incentives to stay healthy and reducing medical costs are perverted. If you want to make sure that you get health insurance, your best bet is to wait, get sick, rack up medical bills, rather than take a genetic test, detect the condition early, and then get preventative treatment. So in this way, the passage of GINA really kind of highlights serious flaws in our healthcare system. But even here, there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And the way that insurance companies deny coverage to those with pre-existing conditions has really become a target of public outrage in the last couple of months. There have been a lot of stories on the covers of a lot of major newspapers about people who have died waiting while they fought insurance companies to determine if their life-saving treatments would be covered under their insurance or whether or not it would be considered a pre-existing condition. And so doing away with this pre-existing condition regime has really become a rallying cry around the current movement for healthcare reform, which of course is on the top of the president's agenda and on the top of Congress's agenda. And so now all of the healthcare reform legislation that's pending before Congress includes a provision which would prohibit insurance companies from discriminating on the basis of a pre-existing condition. And that is very good news for genetic research, because if you think about it, genes, your genetic history, is really the ultimate pre-existing condition. And so until insurance companies are prohibited from discriminating based on a pre-existing condition, we're not really going to realize the full benefit of GMO. So that really ends my talk. And just, you know, if any of you have questions, I'd be happy to answer them and talk to you. Aviva, how much time do we have? Okay. Insurance companies are thinking is that, you know, they hope to insure all healthy people, right? That would be an insurance company's dream, because healthy people don't get sick and don't cost insurance companies money. So I think what they do is they foolishly try to just have this delusion that they could come together with this population of people who never get sick. But in reality, we know that that's not true. An insurance company should know that's not true. Everybody has some pre-existing condition. Everybody has the likelihood of getting sick. And so it doesn't make sense. And that's really what healthcare reform policy people are saying now, which is, you know, we can actually save money by healthcare reform, because we're going to be detecting diseases earlier and people aren't going to be racking up these bills. I just think that insurance companies, for some reason, can't bear to, on an individual basis, actually insure somebody who they know is more likely to get sick, even though overall everybody's more likely to get sick. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it just astounds me, because they do have accountants and what you're working with.
Right, they do. I think what happens is just in individual, you know, even though that's true in the aggregate, I think that for each insurance company, when they look at whether or not they're going to insure an individual, when they look at those medical records, they just can't to give insurance to somebody who they know is going to end up costing them money. They have this delusion that they could actually arrange their policy or so that they aren't insuring those people. But in reality, they're just insuring people who don't know that they have this genetic predisposition. And actually, the people who know that they have the genetic predisposition are the ones who are more likely to save them money. But I think they can't bring themselves to do it. Yeah. Yes.
Those conditions that were related to treatment for these genetic conditions would now be considered a benefit. Is that correct? Am I understanding that correctly?
Ask me again. I don't think I understood your question. Do you want to?
If an insurance company operates on a fee for service paradigm.
Yeah.
And up until now, an insurance company has denied covers to an individual who had a genetic condition that they knew about. As I understood your presentation, then they were now, as a result of GINA, they now couldn't deny insurance coverage, and therefore if a person brought forward a symptom or an illness related to this genetic disorder, would they be paying for that treatment?
Right. What I'm saying.
That's, okay.
Okay, I get your question. What GINA does is it prohibits an insurance company from discriminating against, from refusing to cover somebody who tests positive for a genetic predisposition to a disease, but only a predisposition to a disease. So if, for example, you test positive for the BRCA gene, but you have no symptom of breast cancer, then GINA covers you, and an insurance company cannot discriminate against you. But what I was saying in my presentation is the moment you develop any symptom of that genetic disease, which you have a predisposition to, any symptom at all, no matter how slight, that actually becomes your current health status. And GINA does not prohibit insurance companies from denying you coverage on that basis. Insurance companies are allowed to deny you coverage based on your current health status, based on a diagnosis that you currently have. GINA prohibits them from discriminating on a genetic mutation before you've gotten that diagnosis. And what I'm saying in my presentation was, that's fine, but if you think about it, there's really a fine line between finding out that you have a genetic predisposition to a disease and actually receiving a diagnosis of that disease. In some cases, they can coexist. And so what happens, as we were just saying, is that you might not want to get that genetic test, because if you get that genetic test and it turns out you have any symptom of that disease, you're not gonna get coverage. Better to wait, not know you're gonna get it, show up to a doctor as if you have just gotten the disease, and then you'd have insurance coverage. But by then, it's too late to take preventative measures. You're sicker, it costs more money, and that's what we were talking about, the incentives being perverse. Yes?
There are many disorders like asthma, which we think have a genetic basis, but we don't know the particular gene. But we know that if you have a lot of people in your family that have it, you're more likely to have it. So would it still be legal for them to deny coverage to somebody because they have a family history or something, but we don't know the gene?
Yes, that is illegal. Because what it is as I said, GINA broadly defines genetic information as not only the results of a genetic test, but also diseases of family members. So yeah, an insurance company couldn't look at you and say, yeah, so you know, oh my God, everybody in your family has breast cancer. Oh my God, everybody in your family has asthma. This person's going to be really sick. We're not going to cover that. GINA prohibits insurance companies from doing. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. It really was a pleasure to be here, and I'll be here too if you want to ask any questions afterwards.